You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to BFM 89.9. In the studios with me is Razlan Razali, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the Sepang International Circuit, Sindrian Berhad. Welcome to our studios. We're all interested to hear about Sepang, but unfortunately, that's the issue. We don't hear very much about Sepang. It's very cyclical. F1 comes around, there's a bit of brouhaha about the circuit, and then it gets all quiet again. Off and on, there might be people say, "Oh, there's some kind of motorcycle thing going on," and then we never hear anything about that. Is that, you know, what you found, having been brought in? You're now the new kid on the block, as it were. Is that what you found?
It is that perception. Whether I was in Sepang or not, I was on the other side of the fence. Yes, there's a perception that Sepang only existed when F1 comes to town or when MotoGP comes to town. But, you know, we are booked solid 300 days in a year with events, but it's not communicated to the mass market what we are doing. Okay, we've only been seen as doing F1, and after that, that's it. We are a white elephant. But that's not the case. So this year will be different.
That's a promise. That's a promise from the new CEO. Will things change now that you've been taken away? Sepang has been taken away from being under Malaysian Airports Holdings.
Yes, effectively by first quarter of this year, by end of first quarter of this year, we will be sold to Ministry of Finance by MAB. But unfortunately, the general direction of what they're going to do with us is still unclear. But for MAB, it's clear for them because it's part of their restructuring exercise. Sure. But effectively, by end of first quarter of this year, we'll be under MOF.
Okay, here's the thing. A lot of people who are watching Sepang, just like they would watch other companies, analysts say it's really quite interesting, the whole idea of setting it up, bringing in the F1, was that bigger picture. You wanted to bring in, you wanted to put Malaysia on the map. You wanted to bring in the tourism dollars. Having done that, the hype has sort of died down, but the continued support in order to keep it high in terms of visibility just wasn't there. Why do you think that's happening? And this is aside from the money that's just been put into for the renovations. Yeah. Why has there been no continued support to keep it up if it was so important?
I think we've seen a decline in promotional support, put it that way, from various ministries, especially the last 4 years. Okay, that is sad, considering the amount of money the government have put in to continuously have international motorsport event like, such as F1. And you look at Singapore, the way the government fully supported the first Singapore. So it's sad that we no longer have that continued support as we've seen in the first 3 or first 4 years. But I hope that this year will be different. Again, with besides the change of leadership in SIC, there's also a change of leadership in the government next month. So I hope the new leader would see motorsport as one of his main agenda for Malaysia. Because at the end of the day, it's Formula One that put Malaysia on the world map. And it continued to do so, I hope.
Well, we hope so. All of us who are watching hope so, because many of us, our supporters, were very excited when F1 first came to Malaysia. The night race in Singapore really, you know, no matter how much you're pro-Malaysia, that one sort of like moved things in a very different level. It you know, raised it a notch, if you like, raised the bar.
Well, I mean, people seem to forget our first F1. We were the first in Southeast Asia, the first modern circuit in 1999. That was 10, 11 years ago. People forget about that, okay? Singapore being the first night race, the first street circuit in Asia, of course, it gets all the attention and so on. But you ask everybody out there and who went, you ask them, how's the race? How's the Singapore GP? The first thing they'll answer is, the party is excellent.
Right.
We partied, you know, after the race. But nobody mentioned anything about the race.
Yeah, but you've got to be a diehard fan to talk about the race. I mean, surely the race consists about more.
When you ask, but, you know, how's the F1, Singapore F1?
Don't know.
Oh, the party is good. Okay, but, you know, you don't need to spend millions of dollars to put a great party in a country.
Right, okay. So you're a purist. And I suppose the same reasoning, you know, when people say, well, why don't we do night racing? I mean, that's different, isn't it? When you've got a street circuit, it's different. You've got the visual thing. That's right. In a stadium, it's like, first of all, you've got to spend even more money to light up the place.
Yeah.
And then what are you looking at? You know?
Very simple. There is a night race for MotoGP. It's the first round in Qatar. So catch that race this year, the first round, I think somewhere in April as well. And you see how exciting it is. It's boring.
It's just desert.
Okay. Desert is one thing, but you don't see the grandstands. You don't see the crowd.
Yeah.
Probably there's no crowd. but it totally works differently from a street circuit to a permanent circuit.
All right.
Totally different.
Okay. Having said that, let's move now to what your plans are. You've come in. You see all these problems. People say, no publicity, no awareness, despite the fact that you say, you know, it's booked almost throughout the year. Difficulty in getting there for a lot of people. And this is why there is a perception that, you know, it's so elitist. Because if I was someone who had to take a bus or public transportation, it's really very difficult to get out there. There are all these kind of issues. What are your plans?
Well, I do take note of the difficulties of getting to the track, especially the public transportation. But what we have done this year is a bit different. We are using two companies, only two, as compared to last year where we had bus kilang, school buses and all kind of buses. But this year we are only using two companies, reputable ones. We're using Skybus, Asia's official bus, and ERL buses. So what we have planned is that from the various pickup points in the city and in Nilai and so on, those are the buses that you can use. And it's very cheap. It's only something like 9 ringgit from town or 15 ringgit or some kind of rate like that. Very, very cheap anyway. But they are professional. They will provide all the buses, the feeder buses to the track and so on. And together with ERL, those who want to take the train, ERL train, so from the train station in KLIA, there's feeder buses to take you to the track. So for us, by collaborating with these two companies, it's easier to monitor and control. And at the same time, they have a reputation on their own who always provide efficient services and all that. And we hope it works better this year.
All right.
And we will communicate more as we get closer to the date. We do have a separate press conference just to address the public transportation. Yeah.
Okay, now they've got a good experience. They've got there. It doesn't cost them very much. What happens when you get there? A lot of people say, I get there. Okay, I may enjoy it. The wife finds it boring, or the girlfriend finds it boring.
Yeah.
Or if I come as a family, and you know, especially here in Malaysia, everything is a family. Yeah. What do the children do?
Our survey shows that 60% of the spectators are male.
Right.
Okay, and 40% are females. So that's the audience that we want to attract. The female, okay. We need to offer other activities to get them to come. And when they do come, they either come with their girlfriends, boyfriends, husbands, and children. So that's the target market that we really try to focus on. So what we have done is to organize family-oriented activities, any other kind of activities to attract that segment to the track rather than just watch Formula One or motorsports in general. So this year for F1, at least, if it works, we're going to apply it to all the other events. We have a lot of music. We have a lot of children activities. We have paintball for the first time at SIC. We have bouncing castle. We have sumo wrestling or foosball and whatnot. So a lot of activities this time around to give them that new experience. To attract them to come to SIC. And more importantly is the music element, because motorsport and music is a good combination. Yeah. And we have some various acts lined up.
You're not going to tell us who those lines up?
I'm going to tell you who's coming to town.
All right.
Jamiroquai will be headlining the concert after the race on
big
Sunday.
Big name. Yeah. Okay. Now, what about somebody who from Singapore who heard you say earlier that, you know, you don't need to spend all that money to throw a big party? And they say, well, isn't that what you're doing now by adding the music element, the carnival-like atmosphere? Aren't you just making it into a big party as well?
Party in the track, but if you look at the size of the investment, nowhere close to what they've spent.
Right.
Okay, we have a permanent track. That's a sunken cost for us.
Right.
Okay.
So you don't see it as an investment that a lot of people
say... It's an added cost.
Yeah.
Of course, it's an added cost, but that cost will hopefully generate that extra ticket sales
Well, this is the thing, because people say, is it going to give you the returns? Yeah. The perception, again, at the moment is that for the money that's being spent, it's not generating enough by way of returns.
Well, at the same time, it's never been done before, and hence my appointment in SIC to try new things.
Well, you've got nothing,
nothing to lose.
Right.
Okay. Never been done properly before, so they can't say anything.
All right.
We just hope that it will work. If it doesn't work, we have to look at other... new ideas then.
BFM 89.9, the business station.